sermon this morning comes from 1 Peter chapter 3. Please turn with me there. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. To sum up, all of you, be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead, for you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. Pray with me. Our Father in heaven, we need you now. We need you for clear preaching of the word. Father, we need you to hear the word and to understand it. So, Father, I stand before you, and this congregation sits before you, needing you and asking for your help, so that we will have a right understanding of the infinite being, you, so that we'll have a right understanding of the living organism, the church, so that you will be glorified in the way that we respond to you, so that you will be glorified in the way that we live as a church. So help us now, Father. Be glorified now as each of us are transformed more into the image of your Son. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Nearly 2 years ago, on a dark country road, a car raced along at dangerous speeds. Inside the car was a young high school couple, and they were running late. The young lady needed to be home before her curfew, and it didn't look like they were going to make it. And as they raced along, suddenly the car went out of control. The car went tumbling off of the road and through a field, and then there they lay, with the car on its roof. And then the young man uttered these words, which have chilled me to this day, to the young lady, "Whose legs are those?" The answer was, "They're your legs." You see, the young man received an injury to his spinal column, and to this day, he is unable to walk. Few things in this life are as disturbing as a human body being broken to this extent. And yet, this morning, we have similar imagery before us as we consider the church of Christ that is supposed to be one, the church of Christ which is supposed to be harmonious, and yet the body of Christ is broken. Yet, the body of Christ is divided. As there are people who call upon the name of Christ throughout this country, throughout this world, even in our own community, that we would not worship with. That we would hesitate to call brother and sister. And the body of Christ is broken to the extent that I hold before you a book of denominations in the United States with over 600 pages. And Christ said, you are to be one. Christ said, you are to be harmonious. This word harmonious means like-minded, literally having the same mind. Well, how do we go about this? How do we go about having the same mind as other believers and other Christians? Well, what are the obvious answers or solutions? Well, should we simply go to the oldest church, the ones who claim structurally to trace themselves back? Should we go to the largest denomination that we could stand? Should we be Roman Catholic or should we be PCUSA in order to be harmonious? Well, then that begs the question, can we unite ourselves with those who pervert the gospel? Can we unite ourselves with those who pervert the gospel for the sake of unity? Well, the answer is no. Then what do we do? What is our part in being harmonious? What is our part in having the same mind? Well, Romans 15:5 says, "Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another, according to Christ Jesus." You see, how do we strive for unity? We strive for unity by knowing the Word of God. We strive for unity by studying this, by devouring this, and then from that place, sharing the truth with others. You see, we must be unified according to Christ, unified according to His Word. And we have this responsibility as this imperative, as this command is on you. Have the same mind. Have the same mind. So the call for you this morning is strive for one mind with Christ and then with the rest of the church. Strive for one mind with Christ and then with the rest of the church. So we look at this word in verse 8. All of you, be harmonious, have the same mind. And I call upon you to remember that Christ's sacrifice accomplished making us one. Christ's sacrifice actually accomplished our harmony already. In Ephesians 2:14 through 18, it reads, "For He Himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in His flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in Himself He might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. And He came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through Him we both have our access in one Spirit to the Father." You see, Christ came and died to make you able to fulfill the great commandments. The two greatest commandments, loving God and loving one another. You see, Christ came and died and you were rescued and you were saved. You were given a new heart and the ability to know and to love God. And you were given a new heart with the ability to love one another. This is one of the things accomplished in Christ. You who didn't grow up saved. You who lived in enmity against God. You who warred and hated and coveted. You know the new heart now, don't you? As you are able to love God, as you are able to love one another, as you have been rescued. And Christ says that this is what you're to do now. To love one another and to be harmonious and have the same mind. We read this in John 17, starting with verse 19, as Jesus is praying for the apostles and for the rest of us. He says, "For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us." You see, we're supposed to be this great and beautiful thing in one accord, having this harmony, having this peace, loving one another. But yet somehow we fall grossly short. Somehow we're divided. Someone asked me one time, "Why do you think there are so many denominations?" And my answer is simple. It is sin. There are so many denominations because of sin. Because people will choose their own preferences in picking a church. People will choose their own desires in picking a church, rather than looking at what the Word says and going to the church that preaches and practices what the Word says. You see, this fractured body would be similar to the man who was laying at the gate called Beautiful in Acts. when Peter comes walking by with another apostle and the man begs for change, and Peter looks at him and says, "Look at me. Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I will give you." And he takes the man's hand and pulls him up and says, "In the name of Jesus Christ, walk." And the man goes leaping about proclaiming the glory of God. You see, the church these days is like that man going back and laying back down in the gate. And laying there like a beggar. Laying there like a body still broken. But we are to be a body united as Christ has accomplished it. Look with me again at verse 8. To sum up, all of you, be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit. This humble in spirit, it should be a big part of it. I've mentioned before, I've talked to many people who were turned off to the Reformed Presbyterian Church because of our arrogance. Oftentimes because of the arrogance of our college students, who will walk about with puffed up chests, who walk about in a condescending way. Don't be that. Do not be that. You are to be humble in spirit. If there is anything good about you, where did it come from? If there's anything right about you, where did it come from? If you have any proper understanding of Scripture, where did it come from? It came from the blessing of Christ opening your mind, not from any good thing within you. So you should be humble in your doctrine, humble in your teaching, humble in your understanding, but steadfast. This humility must also come from your salvation. You see, the greatest work of history done since the creation was Christ's sacrifice, death, and resurrection. And this was done because you are so spoiled that Christ had to die to make you right with God. I think of the vegetables that might sit around too long. Spoiled. Rotten. This is us. This is us. That bad. So spoiled. So rotten. Christ died to make you right with the Father. So will we be arrogant? Will we be proud? Will we be puffed up? May it never be. May we be meek. May we be humble in our doctrine and in the way that we relate to one another. Again, to sum up, all of you, be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit. So now we look at having the same mind as other believers. Again, how do we accomplish this? In 1 Peter 2:4 through 5, it says, "In coming to him, as to a living stone which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God, you also, as living stones, are being filled up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." You see, we are to be one house. We are to be one priesthood. And this is not the case. This is not the case in my own extended family. We are not one house. We are not one priesthood. The other believers that you work with that are not Reformed Presbyterian or whatever denomination you have associated yourself with, you are not one house. You are not one priesthood. And you know that that means one of you are sinning. One of you are in sin because of this. Because the body of Christ is either divided, the body of Christ is divided by a wrong understanding of Scripture there. or the body of Christ is divided by the rejection of Scripture there. You see, denominations are evil in that they are divisions of the body of Christ. So we should be working for and towards the unification of the body of Christ. Romans 12:2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." So why aren't you Roman Catholic? Do you know? Why aren't you Methodist? Do you know? Why don't you just join the Presbyterian Church of the United States of America? Do you know why not? Do you have an understanding of Scripture that causes you to be in the denomination that you are in? If not, what are you doing? What are you doing? Are you simply going to hear your ears tickled? Are you simply going to the preacher that's the most entertaining? Are you simply staying in the denomination that you were raised in? If so, you are in sin. You are to be striving for the unity of the body in accordance with the Word of Christ. And have the same mind. You are to have the same mind in accordance with the Word of God. So prepare yourself to display the truth. Prepare yourself to display the truth. Romans 15:5-6. "Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another, according to Christ Jesus, so that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." 2 Peter 3:18 says, "But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen." You see, you are called upon to conform all of your thinking to the Word of Christ. To conform all of your thinking to God Himself. And how is this accomplished? This is accomplished by reading the Word of God. By reading the Word of God. This is to be your staple that holds everything together. So sometimes when we have to go grocery shopping, we decide that it's time for us to slip into famine mode. And so we'll just eat whatever's in the cupboard, or we'll eat whatever's in the refrigerator. And when we go shopping, we only get those essentials. We'll just get the milk and the bread. This is your staple. This is your essential. Whatever else you do in life, you are to be pursuing God in His Word every single day. You are to worship Him as an individual every single day. You are to worship Him as a family every single day, so that you know Him. So that you walk through this life glorifying Him. So that you will have the mind of Christ, so that you are prepared to share Christ with others. So are you divided? Are you divided? Well, how are you divided? What are you divided by? Are you divided by Presbyterian government? Are you Presbyterian? Well, if so, the people that aren't Presbyterian, you should be able to show them exactly why you are Presbyterian. You should be able to show them and display to them, look, Presbyterian government, the elder system, is the structure of the church from the Old Testament until now. Presbyterian government is the structure that God calls us to as He tells us to submit to our elders. We should be able to point to the book of Revelation and show the elders displayed there. Presbyterian government is the structure of government from the Old Testament to the present into eternity. Why are we Presbyterian? I'm Presbyterian because the Bible tells me to be Presbyterian. And if that's right, it is right for everyone. If this is what God calls us to, this is what God calls everyone to. And if the body of Christ is divided and you have the truth and you don't speak up, you're allowing people to continue and to wallow in sin. Are you divided by your worship? Are you divided by your worship? Are you divided by the singing of songs? If so, you should be able to look at your Bible. You should look and see that God commands us to sing His Word. That God commands us to admonish one another with the words of Christ. And if that is what's best, that is what's best. Why am I Reformed Presbyterian? Why do I sing the Psalms? Because God tells me to. And I should be able to display that to anyone so that we will have one mind, so that the church will be united. Am I divided from the PCUSA and from the Roman Catholic Church? I am. And I'm divided so because of a perversion of the gospel that takes place in the PCUSA. I'm divided by a perversion of the gospel in the Roman Catholic Church. And if that's the case for you too, it must be in accordance with the Word of God. Whatever separates us must be in accordance with the Word of God. And you have an obligation to be able to display that, to be able to explain that, so that we will have the same mind in accordance with Christ Jesus. Whatever separates us is sin, and you are to be the enemy of sin in accordance with the Word of God. May we not be this broken body. May we not be this vulgar display that lays and says, "Whose legs are those?" And the answer is, they're your legs. So why are you divided? So why are you broken? You must know the Word of Christ. You who simply open the Bible in church, I fear for you. You who are here to be entertained, I fear for you. You who simply go to another church on another day because you like the band, I fear for you. You who are simply in a church because it's the church you grew up in, I fear for you. But know the will and the mind of Christ. Have the mind of Christ and display it to others so that others can leave their sin, so that you can leave your own sin. Next, look with me again at verse 8. To sum up all of you, be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit. This sympathetic is suffering or feeling alike with another. You see, from this position of being Reformed Presbyterian, from this position of conforming to Scripture, again, do it in absolute and complete humility. But do it. But do it. Understand who the body is to be according to Christ, and we don't enforce our wills. We don't enforce our perspective. I've talked to people and they talked about their worship wars within their church. And they say, well, really, it just comes down to preference. No! No! Nothing we do in the church should come down to preference. Nothing we do should be because I like it more. Nothing we do should be because I enjoy it more. Everything we do in the church should be because God commands us to. Should be because we love Christ and we want to be conformed to His image. Because we love Christ and we want to see the body be one. But not in sin. We want to see the body be one, but not in sin. The question has been unity at what cost? As in, what do we divide over or what do we sacrifice in our fellowship? Well, prayerfully, we give you a fellowship here where you don't have to sacrifice. Where you don't have to sacrifice the word of Christ. And so we don't sacrifice, we don't deal with sin, we don't submit to sin for the sake of unity. But for the sake of unity, we pursue Christ and we proclaim unity in Christ in accordance with His Word. You see, where God is known as Father, there only brotherhood really exists. John Calvin said, where God is known as Father, there only brotherhood can exist. So as you submit to Christ and others submit to Christ and the Word of God, we will be unified. But nothing else will unify us. No tolerance will unify us. No accepting everything will unify us. But the Word of Christ unifies us. Next, strive for one mind with Christ. For the sake of the salvation of souls. John 17:19-21. For their sakes, this is Christ speaking, for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word. That they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. So that the world will believe that you sent me. How many of you heard the objection to church saying, oh, but there's so many churches out there, there's so many denominations out there, they can't all be right. You should be able to say, that's true. Let me show you what's right. Let me show you why I worship where I do. Let me show you why I worship the way I do. Let me show you why I am Reformed Presbyterian according to Scripture. And let them know, no, everyone can't be right. And throw down these excuses. You see, as we walk around and as we shrug our shoulders about all the denominations, we give people an excuse to reject Christ. We give them an excuse. That's all it is, an excuse. But we give it to them. Because they pretend like you can't know the truth. You can't know the truth. Obviously, you can't because of all the denominations. The truth is you can. The truth is when we throw off our petty preferences and pursue the church that is the most biblical, we are knowing the truth. We are doing and we are displaying the right thing. So this is the call for you. Church, assembly of the Most High, sons and daughters of God, strive for one mind with Christ and be prepared to display this truth to everyone. Strive for one mind with Christ and be prepared to display this truth to everyone. Pray with me. Father, we ask for your forgiveness as we have been complacent in pursuing you, as we have been complacent in our choice of churches. Father, as we have been complacent in remaining in our own sin and not being able to display truth rightly, as we have been complacent in allowing others to remain in their sin when we would claim to love them, God, forgive us and move us forward. God, forgive us and give us humble spirits to pursue you in your word. Father, give us humble spirits to worship you as individuals every day. Humble spirits, Father, to worship you as families every single day. Father, make us committed to the assembly that is most committed to you, that is most committed to your word, to your truth, to the structure of government that you have established, to the worship that you have established. And God, give us hearts to proclaim your truth so that we will be one, so that your church will not be broken and divided. Father, so that unbelievers will not scoff. But Father, make us one so that the world will see and believe that you have sent your Son and that there is salvation in no other name under earth, so that you'll be glorified in the salvation of souls, so that more and more will call you Father, so that your kingdom will spread more and more, so that the fame of your Son will spread more and more, so that we will display our love for you and our love for one another. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.